I hope that I can be of some service to you this morning, though I had not a great night last night, a little on the sleeplessness order, and up in the middle of the night trying to read and determine what I should say this morning, exactly what scriptures particularly I should use. And it was a little sparse. But the subject that I want to talk about is not something that came to me tonight. It's I've had it for a month or more, I think. And it's the subject would be hope. Of course, when I come in and heard you singing, and some of you that were a little later than I, I'll have to plead being guilty of being late myself today. But they were singing Whispering Hope, which seemed quite appropriate today. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I believe it is, which I didn't have written down as something I wanted to read, but it has considerable to say about faith. And faith is the beginning of hope. And, of course, they lump it all together, faith, hope, and charity. I say they, the scriptures, which is God and Christ and the prophets and the writers of various times. And even as great as faith is and the greatest hope is, yet charity is even greater. And perhaps most of you heard, and some of you so many times you could know definitely if I miss a word in this quotation, because it's been quoted many times. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence is of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things which are seen is not made of things which do appear. That's saying then that we cannot always rationalize everything that pertains to God, but that we have to accept things on faith. And in the Book of Mormon, it very clearly says that we, without faith, we cannot please God. So if we are going to be determined that we must know and have something that we can put our finger on and say, this is what caused this to happen, or something like that, then we don't have much faith. We have to be able to accept it by faith. But after we have our faith, and accepting that everyone has a measure of faith, some a little greater than others, some much greater than others, but probably none as great as we would like to have. And we have to sort of cultivate that faith. But after we have the faith that will bring to us knowledge and understanding, what do we hope for? Hope. Well, I believe that everyone here today has a hope, and that hope, the greatest of that hope,
is for their soul salvation. To me, that is the most important thing that we can hope for, that we can work for. Because there's not much use hoping for it unless we work for it. It doesn't come as a completely free gift. Oh yes, we can't. It's not all from work. But without Christ, there would be no hope. So it's not all within us, not by any stretch of the imagination. But we do have our responsibilities. And the hope for our soul salvation, which comes when? At the end of this race. At the end of, well, I would almost say at the end of this life. Assuming that all of us have our life terminated before the return of our Lord and Master. But I have a hope. That some of us, and probably many of us, will live to see that time that our Lord and Master will return. He made the promise almost 2,000 years ago to the disciples, and they didn't understand it too well. There's lots of things we don't understand too well even now. Because many of them thought, well, you know, he'll be back next week or in a few years, certainly within our lifetime. But as they began to get a little greater understanding, not from the things that Christ taught them, I don't believe, but from that Holy Spirit, from that Holy Ghost, that Comforter, and that that gives understanding. Paul said that there would be a falling away before he returned. He began to understand that it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. And of course the prophecies back in the Old Testament, particularly in Daniel, tells about there being 1260 years between the time of the falling away and the restoration of the church. And along with the restoration of the church back in 1830, 1829, many then felt that they would live to see that time that Christ would return. I understand Joseph Smith himself felt that he would live to see that time. And of course we know that he hasn't. And many over the years have had a similar hope. I think my mother had that hope. And she passed away in 48. That's 40 years ago, isn't it? Maybe my hope, as far as that part is concerned, might be in vain. I have no way of knowing for sure. But many years ago, in listening to the prophecies, the things that were going to happen, I added up, well, it just seems that everything was sort of hinged around the year 2000. And I was born 23. I thought, That make you 77? Would I make 77? Well, it didn't look too promising, really, back that early. I sure hoped so. I'm getting a little closer to it. I'm still 10 years or a little lower from it, 12 years maybe. But it's looking a little more promising. Why do I say the year 2000? Well, in Peter, 2 Peter, find out where I'm, 3 and 8. Now, if I succeed in finding Peter, that's right pretty much next door. Except it's the next door the other direction. By now you've all had it and read it, haven't you? That's 1 Peter. No one is not looking too good. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Oh, I know many feel that really could have said a day is like forever, and forever is like a day. But I believe that Peter had something a little more specific in mind than that. Something that he felt like it was worth our while to know. We're told back in the beginning, the creation that is I'm talking about, that it was created in 6 days. The earth was created in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. I am of the opinion that those days is what this is referring here. That the 6 days are the 1,000 years or 6,000 years that the earth is to stand. And on the seventh day, the seventh year, 1,000 years, will be the rest, or the time that Christ will come back, and we will have 1,000 years. I don't want to say we will have 1,000 years. Christ will have 1,000 years with his people. And I have a hope for a part in that 1,000 years reign. And I even have a hope that I might live until that time. But it really doesn't matter. Because if I'm not righteous enough, it'll do me no good to live until that time. He would say, I never knew you. When the gate is closed, I never knew you. But if my life should be snuffed out today, by whatever cause, I guess one of the more common ones is car wrecks.
Also, lots of lightnings takes lives indiscriminately. Various reasons. If that time should come, I don't mean if, I mean when that time comes, that Christ shall return and take over the active leadership of his church, of his people. If we are to return with him, then it really doesn't matter. So the prime hope is not for me to live till I'm 77. And I suppose there are some that would question the wisdom of looking for a particular year. Let's look at Mark 13:32 just a second. This is speaking of the last day. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So how can I be justified in even suggesting that the year 2000 might be the time that this is going to happen, when we got it from a pretty good source here, Christ, that no man knows that day and that hour. I don't find a particular conflict. If it should be true that the year 2000 will bring about the completion of the 6,000 years, of course, the 6,000 years we would generally think of as starting on 1201. Midnight on January the 1st and ending on December the 31st at 1159 or 1160, 12 o'clock. There'd be 365 days there that you could, I'd say there'd be 364 days that you could pick that would not be the day that Christ would return. So the fact that they says the day and hour. Now there's in scriptures, particularly in prophecy, I believe in Isaiah, that talks about in that day, speaking of something that's going to come to pass in later years, meaning such like that day and that time, that general area. That does not, in the use of there of the day, does not specifically mean a day, but a time or an era. We refer to the latter days, the time of the restoration of the church in the latter days. And that days, the latter days have drug out for, 158 years already? So in that context, a day can be, or days can be, quite a length of time. But then this throws in the hour also. I think that makes it a little more definite than when we just talk about day or days. But when you talk about day and hour, we're cutting it down to a little closer, a much closer time. Now, if you all don't choose to agree with me, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I might be wrong. I very well might be wrong. But I think I might very well be right also. Brother Leon Yates saw a vision some years ago in which he was shown the number 2000. I believe that he thought that that had a significance of when the Lord would return. But he never would say that, because he was wanted to be mighty careful that he didn't mislead someone. He didn't know what the significance of it was, but he was given to understand that 2000 had some significance. But whatever, whether it be at the year 2000, you know, when I was growing up and I looked at, well, you'll be 67, 77, I'm sorry, and maybe I'm adding wrong, but it seemed like an awful long time. And, of course, when you're going to grade school, you're in first grade and school just started, it seems like it's quite a long time till school's out in the spring. Summer doesn't seem too long, except the mamas. And sometimes they get a little long until they can get the children back in school. And even if they get further up in school, even to senior, the year is still pretty long. It seems to be, at as you look at it then. Can't hardly wait until we can get through a school and either go on to college or go on about our life, making a life for ourselves. And yet most all of us, when we look back, that really wasn't so very long. Now there's a funny looking little vehicle comes around the roads and picks up our little children and takes them to school in the morning and brings them back in the evening. And about a month ago, they come around picking up the little first graders to go to school. And before you know it, they will be graduated from high school. And what class will they be? Class of 2000. It isn't that far away. If I'm right, it isn't that far away. It may be much closer. I'm not telling you it's that far away. But even if it is, just a little path of time. When I come back here 5 years ago, and we had Book of Mormon study over at Norma's, there was a little fellow in there that wasn't too great at reading. So we give him easy sections to read. And
But he's since gone through those high school years. And his reading picked up pretty fast. Just seemed like about any time that he was reading like the rest of us. He's now out in California learning the rigors of military life. I just hope that he recalls those things which we read and studied, and that he has a hope, the same hope that I hope that you have, that we all have, each individual, particularly for ourselves. I don't think we can do too much in hope for one another. I think that hope has to be within our own hearts. We can encourage one another. We can teach one another. We can love one another. But this hope that I'm talking about is the most intimate hope for our own soul salvation. Oh yes, I'd love to see everyone here receive their soul salvation. But I can't do it for you. I can encourage you. I can help you. We can help one another. And for sure, you can help me. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. I guess I'm a little bit I don't know if partial is the word I want to use or not. Thessalonians, I was privileged a few years back, 15 years back, I guess now, to spend a couple weeks in Thessalonica, or Salonica as they call it these days, but it's the same city, the same place that Paul wrote to. Well, I'm in trouble. I've got 2 Thessalonians, 4th chapter and 13th verse, and there's only 3 chapters. I guess it's 1 Thessalonians I want, says 2 Thessalonians. That's where the problem is. Well, let's back up a little ways from there. It's the 7th verse. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, that's up the northern part of Greece. If you look on the map, it's up like that. Sorry. But ye beseech you, brother, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet.
studies to be quiet. That sounds like a kind of a strange term. But I don't think noise, loud laughter, hilariousness, bang, bang, bing, bing, music, all this goes with righteousness. What does one of the songs say? Peace be still. Peace be still. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Do we work with our own hands? Yes, most of us do. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But here is this ignorant again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Who are these that are asleep? These are our brothers and sisters that we have buried their bodies in the ground, or in some instances in the ocean, but for most of us, in the earth. And their spirit has been caught up to that resting place, to a place called paradise. Paradise, a place of rest, where we could sleep, rest. Oh, I don't know whether we'll be asleep in the manner that we know of sleep or not. I think perhaps so, but I wouldn't want to be emphasize it, the fact that sleep, that type of sleep. And if I should not make the year 2000, if the year 2000 happened to be the magic number, don't use the word magic, I'm not much for magic, the correct number. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Our brothers and sisters, and most especially our parents, and maybe grandparents, that have hope. We have hope for them because we know of the type of life they lived. So they have hope. Not as others which have no hope, those that have refused throughout their life to be obedient to the Word of God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Whatever year. Doesn't matter. Whatever year. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Yes, I do have a hope for that. Oh, I'm not sure of it by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a hope for it. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, they're all going to be mingled together, as I would interpret that. The ones that are together in a righteous spirit that live until that time will all be mingled together with those that which have gone before us. We will be brothers and sisters in Christ together. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's not just spirits that's coming back from heaven. Or should I say from paradise? I really didn't say what I meant to say, did I? It is the spirits that is coming back, which will join with the body, which have we placed in the grave. And how is that body going to be a desirable body? Some of the bodies that we put in the graves are mutilated by war, mutilated by accidents, in poor condition because of old age. How is that going to come to pass? Faith. We can't specify how. Just have faith that it will. Because God says it will. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Not to remain in the clouds, of course. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes, we'll be with the Lord forever, but not in the air forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I hope that these words, maybe you will comfort a little this morning. There are a few, if any, that haven't had losses of loved ones. Some more recent than others. Again, my mother, 40 years ago. My father's, 28 years, I guess. Doesn't matter. But if we know the condition that they have lived their lives, and know that their spirit is with God in a place of rest, waiting for that glorious time. I've said before, but I think it might do repeating, my idea pertaining to this rest. Earlier I said I didn't sleep too well last night. But I suspect a lot of you have had nights that you didn't sleep too well. But I have had
some nights. Probably when I was a little bit tired, that my head hardly hit the pillow until it was daylight. It seemed that there was a sleep, of most restful sleep, that you wake up of a morning and realize that you have rested throughout the whole night. Some of you mothers have probably had a similarity of that when your children were small. When they had 10 o'clock feedings and 2 o'clock feedings and 4 o'clock feedings and what have you, and then all of a sudden they wake up one morning and the little brat didn't wake you up at all. You slept all night. I feel that that is the type of sleep that this is referring to here when Christ says that, well, I guess it wasn't Christ, it's Paul writing to the Thessalonians, but under the influence of Christ. But I would have you to have you not, one more time, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, because when the Lord returns with the trump, the God, and the shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise, my opinion that it will be no time at all in their knowledge between the time that their spirit left their body and it returned. I find comfort in that. That my mother hasn't been laying here 40 years waiting for time, like we might have spent many hours waiting for morning to come. But that is all in peace and comfort. And of course, when I speak of my own family, we can go back much further than that. How about Paul? How about Matthew? How about John the Baptist? How about all those that's been there nearly 2,000 years? Then I guess we could delve back a little further and say, well, how about those back in the Old Testament times? Well, at least some of those arose at the time that Christ was resurrected. Many, the scripture says. Many. And I don't know whether many means 16 or 16 million or how many is. Both in the old country and this country. Their hopes has been realized. Our hope is still in the future. And again, don't set your heart on the year 2000, because I haven't. Maybe long, much sooner than that. Oh, there was one thing that used to bother me from that year 2000, because it says in the scripture something to the fact that except the days would be shortened, there would be no people left. Let's see, I guess that's one place, it's Luke 21. Let's look at that just a minute. It's also the 24th chapter of Matthew, but
I chose Luke to read. Well, I'm not finding it. It isn't where I thought it was. But a scripture I will read anyway, 34th verse. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. There will be that time when the end does come, a day and an hour, and I guess a moment. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I hope I've not caused confusion in anyone's mind this morning, because I know that there are some differences of opinion as to the interpretation of some of the scriptures, as to whether or not we'll have any warning of the time that Christ will return. I am convinced that we will have and have had some warning. And as that time approaches more closely, similarly to his first coming, when Samuel the Lamanite prophesied that within 5 years Christ would be born. He didn't say what day, even then, or hour. And when did they learn what day it would be? I believe it was Nephi that was praying, because they were threatening the lives of all those that wouldn't deny the gospel or the teachings of the prophets of Nephi. If they would not deny those things. And this made Nephi a bit anxious, of course. And he prayed. I guess I want to read that, if I can find it real quickly. It has to be in the third book of Nephi, and it has to be long about I'm not going to find it that quick. We studied in our Sunday school not very far back. No, I'm not going to take the time to hunt it. You can find it if you like. But he told them that this day the sign would be given. Didn't have much warning. Didn't have much, well, I won't say that's warning. I'd say didn't have much advance notice. But they did know, even though they
The world about them was about to destroy them, that God was still in power, that their faith was true. And our faith and our hope is utmost important to us for our soul's salvation. Thank you.